marriage, hauntings, murder. We've got it all. A husband and wife talking about all things real, scary, and truthful. Welcome to our podcast. Hey guys, are you in the United States or Japan and looking for a private investigation? Then I have got the website for you. Head to yaminotante.org and you will be able to find everything you need about them, ways to contact them, case types, and so much more. They are there to help you, like I said, if you are in the United States or Japan. All you have to do is head to www.yaminotante.org and you'll find everything you need and so much more. You can contact them if you have any questions and they'll be there to help you no matter what. So check them out if you're looking for a private investigator in the United States or Japan, and enjoy. Good morning, everyone, or whenever you are listening. I'm sitting here with Cash and we are just chilling this morning. Today we are going to, well, I say we, it's just me today because we are talking about a current case that is still open, and I just wanted to get all the facts out there that I have gathered. That way people can know about it, because I've had a few people post about it and question it. So I thought I would just talk about it today, and that's what we're going to do. So today, excuse me. Today, I am talking about the four students from the University of Ohio that were killed at an off-campus home last weekend. Their names were Ethan Chapman, Kaylee Goncala, I don't know how to say her name, Zanna Kernodle, and Madison Mogan. They were four students, like I said, at the University of Idaho, and they were found fatally stabbed to death in the second and third floors of their home in Moscow, Idaho. They still don't know a lot of details with this case, but they do know some things. They think that the four victims were likely asleep before the attack began during the early morning hours on Sunday, because they were each stabbed multiple times and there wasn't any like defensive wounds. They were not reported until around noon that day, so they think that the other roommates were also asleep as well. Like I said, all four victims were ruled a homicide by stabbing, according to the county coroner. They had some defensive wounds, but not a lot, which is why they think that they were asleep when it happened. But like I said, it is unclear how many of the victims or which victims had defensive wounds. They haven't released that information yet either. They also said the father of Zanna, I think I'm saying her name right. If I'm not, I'm totally sorry. But he said that his daughter fought off her attacker through the very end. He said she's a tough kid and he's just pretty sure that's what she did. Apparently there were lots of blood on the walls in the house, in the crime scene, because each victim was stabbed multiple times, likely by the same weapon, and they were not tied, not gagged, not anything, so any kind of flinging, flailing around would make the blood splatter more than usual if they were tied or gagged or anything of that nature. The door was open when the police arrived to the house and there was no damage inside. They think that there was no forced entry. They are also, I saw a few things that were led to believe that they knew the person that did this to them, but some people weren't sure if they knew the person, so that was still kind of going back and forth the last time I looked this information up. Their house was the party house, according to Kaylee's sister. So they weren't very private about a code that they had on the door, because they had one of those keypad doors. So they weren't very private with the code, apparently. So if you had the code, you could go in and out of this house anytime, as long as you pleased. They also had a sliding door that could have been used to gain entry into the house. This was like a safe college town, so
you know, not many people were worried about this kind of thing. They were also looking for local stores and shops that sell any kind of weapon, to see if anybody sold fixed blade knives. And that's the only thing that they said about the murder weapon, because they still aren't sure exactly what it was. So they're trying to get information about what is sold around the area to see if any of them are close to or the exact, you know, use of what happened. So they released a map of like the timeline and the victim's movements last weekend. The four students mostly spent the night separated in pairs, so there were two and two. Chapin and Kernodle attended a party at the Sigma Chi fraternity house from 8 to 9 on Saturday, and Gonkalovs and Mogan, again, I could be totally butchering these names, were at the Corner Club sports bar between 10 and 1:30. They also ordered from a food truck. They waited about 10 minutes for their food. They chatted with each other as well as other people standing by, and they didn't seem like they were in any distress or danger in any way. They also used a private party for a ride home, and they got home at about 1:45 in the morning. All victims were back in the house 1:45 on Sunday. So they were all together and alive early hours of Sunday. There's also things going around about a man that was at the food truck with two of them that looked like he followed them when they left. He was like in a hood, but I haven't really read any more about that. They did release a video about it, so you can look it up and see it, but I haven't seen any more about that. It seems like they are keeping a lot of this information kind of close to the chest, which, you know, you want to at this point. So I don't know, like I said, any more about that. There were also two other roommates that were home at the time of the attack who were found uninjured. They do not believe that they were involved in the crime at all. They think that whoever did this was just specifically coming after the four victims. So they don't believe that they were even worried about the other two people, even if they knew they were home. So they are potential witnesses. They could be potential victims. They could potentially be the key to this whole thing. So they are really trying to work with them and get, information from them. They hope the roommates will be able to help them figure out what concurred and why. No one has been ruled or excluded as a person of interest or a suspect, and everyone is still being investigated. So, like I said, they could be either victims or suspects in this case. They really don't know what's going on with that. They have completed 38 interviews with people so far who may have information about the murders. They have also seized items from three dumpsters near the house for review as potential evidence, but no updates have been disclosed on that. And they receive a lot of tips all the time. They received 500 tips as of Friday late afternoon, so they are following up with them as much as they can. They also have an email tip line as well, and they're going to do a vigil following Thanksgiving break for people to pay their respects to the victims. So if you read other articles about it, it says that the victims were stabbed in the chest, in the upper body area. And they think that it had to have been somebody pretty angry to do this to them because the crime scene was very hard to look at. There was no signs of assault or anything like that, so that is a positive in this situation. But they are desperately, desperately looking for any tips or leads. So if you are in the area and you know anything, please let them know, because they are desperately trying to solve this case for the families and, of course, the friends. It is just a really sad, horrible thing. And if you know anything, please let them know, because these people deserve justice. And whoever did this deserves to be busted. So, of course, we will keep you posted with any more information regarding this case. It is very sad. It is very scary. And like I said, if you have any information, please relay it to the police as soon as you can. So thanks for listening, and we will scare you later.